Welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and I'd like to welcome back to the program today Steve Benesch. He's got a new book out. It's called A City of Neighbors, Faces from the Streets of Dayton, Ohio. He joins us by telephone from Dayton, Ohio. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Vic. How are you? Great to be back.
Steve, I'm wonderful, and I'm just tickled that you put out another book, because we had you on, I think it was last year, for your book Scrappers. And this was a collection of photos of guys and women that you took who were collecting scrap metal around the Dayton area. And I can see some connection between these two projects. In fact, you have a couple photos of scrappers in this new book. But this is a very different look at Dayton. Now, what was the idea behind it?
Well, I wanted to pull together my black and white photographs, street photography of Dayton, and I spend quite a lot of time roaming the streets of this town, trying to capture people in everyday life and how they look and what they're doing and life on the streets. I've been a reporter here for about 20 years, and there's a lot of great subject matter out there to take street photography to base a street photography book on. So that was sort of it. I mean, there's also some of the lore and myths, if you will, of Dayton folklore. I saw it as an opportunity to try to make a point about the city in that way.
Now, when you say you're a reporter, a lot of people say, yeah, Steve Benesch, I know him. He writes for the Dayton Daily News, and he's a photographer.
That's right, yeah. I have had all kinds of assignments over the years. What got me into photography was working for about maybe 10 years or so as a night police reporter, and there were so many times I wish I had had a camera with me that I started carrying a camera around with me. You know, so this is some of that sense and attitude is a part of this book, and there's some crime scenes in there. There's some scenes of that sort.
Okay, we're talking about a book of photos, so we need to create some images for our listeners so they can imagine what this book looks like and the layout and what some of these photos are. So let's talk about it. Okay, the size of the book, the way it looks, a very striking photo on the cover.
Yeah. The book is 7x7. It's compact. I was inspired quite a bit by a series of books by the Library of Congress, Fields of Vision, which are a collection of photographs by various photographers taken during the Great Depression and the years before and after. And photographers like Ben Shahn and Russell Lee, very compact, black and white, stark, how people lived in that time period. And I thought it was particularly appropriate, given that we've been through the worst economic catastrophe since the Great Depression, and the city of Dayton is still trying to build out of that. I was looking for that type of feeling. And the cover photograph is a couple of young guys, teenagers, on North Main Street in the Santa Clara district, and this is where they hang out. You know, this is what they were doing on that day. I noticed a group of young guys out there when I'd drive by, and sort of stalked them a bit, you know, and kind of came up behind them in an alley, you know, through an alley, anyways, and. It's not hard to get some striking photographs of some of the characters around town. I appreciate it.
The thing that struck me about this book in comparing it to your previous collection of photos, Scrappers, in Scrappers, we have a lot of pictures of people hauling around scrap metal, digging it up, picking it up. But most of the pictures, it seems like you took them just as you observed, and a lot of the people aren't really looking into the camera. Whereas in this one, it looks like you had a lot of people who were willing to look you in the eye, look into the camera. They were willing to be photographed or not.
Well, what I wanted to do was get give people a real feel for what life is like on the streets, and they knew, you know, for the most part, they knew I was taking photographs of them, and I went to places where people were plying their trades or just hanging out or spending an evening, on the porch and that kind of thing. For the most part, everyone was aware that I was shooting. I went to places like barbecue stands and alleys where you know you find scrappers around. These photos were very opportunistically taken. I mean, if I saw somebody out there who looked like they'd make great portrait, I'd pull on over and jump out of the car and take a photograph of them. One of the points I was trying to get at, I was trying to build this book around the notion of Dayton as the Gem City, and piece, you know. And for more than 100 years, we've been referred to in newspapers and in books as the Gem City. And there's really no clear agreement as to how we got that that term. I mean, some people say it was a 19th century reporter from Cincinnati who came here and dubbed Dayton a gem among all our towns, and others say that we get that term from the fact that the three major rivers meet here, and that the city is like a gemstone in a setting for a ring, with the rivers being the setting, you know. And also sometimes Emerald City, people sort of pleasantly confuse Gem City with Emerald City, kind of the Wizard of Oz term, and call Dayton the Emerald City. That's just a very pleasant mix-up. But for me, the gems here are the enduring and durable and skillful people that inhabit here, even after an economic meltdown and great recession. So that's, to me, that's what Gem City means. It's the enduring nature of the people, the indelible type of characters that I found out there.
Steve Benesch joins us. His new collection of photographs is a book called A City of Neighbors, Faces from the Streets of Dayton, Ohio. He asks, who are the people of the Emerald City? A roving camera captures them as they are. And you captured a young man. Your caption is East 3rd Street Walk Up, and this gentleman has quite a tattoo collection, and he's wearing a T-shirt. It shows a monkey hauling a banana in a wheelbarrow, and the shirt says, "Life's good when you have a big banana."
There you go.
These are classic shots.
Well, thank you.
And then you have another one. It's a photo of a guy named Playboy Phil downtown.
Right.
And he's got the Playboy Bunny on his jacket. I guess that's where you got the name.
Exactly, yeah. Now, Phil's a character known to all who you'll find downtown Dayton quite often. And he's kind of a street character, you know, roams around. And I happened to catch him as the RTA bus went by. That's in the caption on it is, "It's time to ride." So he's a lovable street character that you'll find here.
I think one of my favorite photos is Generations Wait for Pizza, Wayne Avenue.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that was. Wayne Avenue is a great avenue for great photographs, you know, and this was one of them. And here we had, I believe a grandma, mom, and an aunt, perhaps, and a young girl, probably. I don't know. I'm thinking she's 2 years old, maybe, and she's got a soda pop bottle there, and they're outside. Outside a pizza place, just waiting for the pizza to show up, and they're all quite natural. And she's looking off in the distance, and they're teasing her. But that was unprompted. I mean, there was a very natural sort of image there, And one thing you find is that I've rarely encountered anyone who refused to have their photograph taken. They're very receptive. And this is, you know, we're in the heart of the Midwest, and people are awful darn polite and accommodating and friendly. So, yeah, this was a good one, and this was unprompted, unposed, and it's just right there.
You capture a lot of attitude in some of these photos. Another one is called Skateboard Boys, and it shows these three young boys with their skateboards, and the kid in the middle.
Right.
I love his facial expression. I mean, he is just, he's giving it to you, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, that's just it, you know. And then another caption I might have used was ready for prime time. You know, these guys, I was eager to get kids kind of in their natural state around town. And these guys came along with their skateboards and really with no prompting, no, hey, you stand there and you stand here. They went right into a pose that was, you know, probably could have been ordered up by, you know, some Hollywood production. I don't know, but anyways, yeah, they, you know, you can see the attitude, you can see the cockiness, you know, you can see that they're just they're ready for their glamour shot, you know, and they're young guys. I mean, there's not one of them. There maybe one of them's 10, you know, I don't know, but. One's got skateboard tipped one way, the other, you know, another one the other way. So it doesn't take a whole lot of prompting to get that out of folks here. They're quite colorful.
Another favorite of mine is birthday money pinned to blouse.
Now that is, oh well, thank you there, Vic. That's a tradition, you know, that I came to understand as a police reporter, is that you'd see some young ladies about with cash, you know, green money, you know, pinned to their blouses, and this is a tradition in the black community. I understand that if it's your birthday, people are supposed to, you know, pin money to your clothes. So you know, I was out at some police incident or something, and there she was. You know, she's walking around with $6 pinned to her dress, and I learned, you know, afterwards that's what that was the tradition.
You've got another shot, barbecue stand west side, and you can see a woman in the foreground, and she's not, she's kind of looking down, but she's got this just incredible facial expression. And then it looks like there's a police officer. He's got a great big gun. He's getting waited on at the counter. Then you can see another guy peering out the window of the car.
Yeah.
And this is just, how many shots do you take before you get one like that?
I would say, you know, that was, might have been three or four, but I think she was looking over at a pit bull.
Oh.
That was also might have been for sale in that lot there. You know, when the summertime comes, when the spring summer time hits, you know, barbecue stands just spring up all over Dayton in the strip malls and all over the main drags. And this one was out on, seems to me, maybe on Gettysburg. And here was this private security guard, and rather than keeping his handgun in a holster, he had it sort of rigged on his belt, you know, so it's just sitting right there for everybody to see, I guess. Maybe intimidation factor, I don't know. And this lady had just pulled up and was ordering up, I think, some big chicken beans and greens dinner. And just at that moment, you know, that car came by. So it's quite a bit of a tableau there. But it's a classic summer scene in the city of Dayton. The barbecue stand, the people around the barbecue stand, and that's a lot of what the economy is. You know, that's the street economy, anyways. Mm-hmm. Is people hitting the barbecue stands?
Well, from looking at these photos, I'd say that the tattoo business is flourishing.
Oh. Yeah, you bet. I mean, we've got most the proliferation of ink is all over town, and young people are getting tattooed more than they did in my day. And skull tattoos are quite popular, young people really going for that ink, and there are quite a few tattoo shops around town.
You do have one, which is a sequence of two shots where the guy pulls his shirt over his face.
Right, exactly. Well, I thought that worked. What that is, he completely surprised me with that one. But I was on one of my roaming trips in Dayton. I think it was South Park neighborhood, and ran into this guy with a T-shirt that said, "Have you seen my zombie?" And I'm thinking, well, boy, that's great timing. You know, zombie culture and zombie entertainment seems to be all the rage. But not quite knowing what was up with that T-shirt, "Have you seen my zombie?" You know, so he pulls the shirt over his face, and there on the back of the shirt is a zombie face. So he can throw this shirt over his face, and there he can turn into a zombie. He's the zombie, you know. So I thought I'd never seen that T-shirt before. I don't know if you've ever seen it either, there, Vic. But
not until I opened your book. No.
Yeah. So quite that little street humor there, you know. I thought it was terrific. It was around Halloween time,
okay.
You know. So these shirts were going like hotcakes, you know. So this guy was getting in the spirit of Halloween shortly before the day.
Steve Benesch joins us. His new photo collection is A City of Neighbors: Faces from the Streets of Dayton, Ohio, and there's one very reflective photo where it shows this man, and he's sitting next to one of those what would you call it, something they used to have wire on, it's turned into a table, and he's got a great big bottle of beer. It says Afternoon Beer Break East Side, and he's just kind of relaxing a little bit. That's a great shot. Did he sit there and pose for you, or did he just look at you like, what are you doing?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I think I was driving around East Dayton for some reason. I can't even remember what for. And had noticed this fella. He'd been, he was often out on his vacant lot with this spool. It's a very large utility wire spool that he was using for a table. And I'd see him sitting out there with a 40-ounce beer, and I thought a couple times, boy, this would make a great photo, you know. So fine, I didn't have the time the first couple times to stop. So finally, one day I was driving out there, and there he was, and I'm thinking, oh, I got to get it. pulled onto the street, jumped out with a Rolleiflex, 1950s era. And my photographs are almost entirely film, you know, and popped out. I don't know what he was thinking, because I really, you know, I walked right over to him and said, "Hey, I'm going to take your photograph." And he didn't say a word. He just sat there, never said a word to me the whole time. Seemed to realize I was there, you know, and comprehend that I'm a photographer. But other than that, you know, he didn't say a word. Just kind of looked at me, just like that.
Well,
I have no idea what was going on in his mind, or whether he was expecting me to show up, or what the story was. But he was quite gracious and didn't move.
Early on, Steve, you cited a couple of photographers who whose work you admired, and
yep.
I'm guessing you got a little Ouija going on in there too.
That's, I've been accused of that and believe me, I'm extremely flattered. I have a few shots here that have been, we've got one of a murder suspect being brought to police headquarters, and he's still in his hospital gown with handcuffs and chains and all that kind of thing. And I've been told, hey, that's like something Ouija would take.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I'm, you know, quite flattered by that. I've got another shot here of an arson survivor with his bags of salvaged clothes on 3rd Street, and that I suppose could, with his shirt off, you know, I suppose that could pass as well. Yeah, Ouija is great, great photographer, street photographer, 30s and 40s New York City before he went to Hollywood, and just spectacular work, as he's quite well known. And you bet. The spirit of Ouija, I would like to think perhaps I could summon that up from time to time.
And Ouija must have monitored the police radio, because that guy was always there.
Exactly.
When they were hauling the murder victims out.
Exactly.
I mean, he was always right on top of everyone. You've got a couple photos that you saved to the very back that, if I had to pick my favorites, they face each other. And one is making fun of a visitor,
and
the other is big man, small dog.
There you go. Okay, those have some interesting. The making fun of the visitor, I think, was on a police call having to do with a raid on a house. And at the house across the street, we have, you know, three young girls, and they're noticing all the commotion, and of course, you know, they see the photographer on their porch and reporters milling around, and they can't help themselves. They've got to look, peek out that window, and make faces. So I was able to capture that, and they're quite you know, adorable little kids, and you know, they just all quite natural. And now, big man, small dog. I mean, we've got a large black man out on his lawn in the background, and his small white dog in the foreground there. This was there was a water main broke on the west side near I think it was one of the it was I think it was not Grandview Hospital, but it might have been. Well, it was along Salem. It was out Salem way, and this guy was on high ground, so he wasn't getting flooded. So he was feeling pretty good there. So he was the one person there that day who did not get wet. But his dog was quite excited by all the commotion.
Well, you must have very fast shutter speed, because you really got an action shot on that little puppy.
Yeah, there you go. He's like in midair, running right along the lawn there. So, yeah, that was a very fortunate shot. I enjoyed that. I'm glad you did, too.
I love that. Steve Benesch joins us. His book is A City of Neighbors, Faces from the Streets of Dayton. Just published, and it's available as a softcover, PDF, and ebook through blurb.com. It's also in the iTunes store on various Apple devices, and you have an introduction here by Jim DeBross, longtime investigative reporter for the Dayton Daily News, who now has gone on to academia.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're originally from Detroit. I didn't realize until I read your introduction that Jim is a fifth-generation Daytonian. And this is a very nice introduction that he wrote for you.
Yeah, he did a fantastic job. It was beautiful, beautifully written introduction about Dayton in the 50s, and growing up in Dayton in the 50s, and how jam-packed we were with factories and prosperity and good middle-class life, and what a thriving hub of manufacturing Dayton was, and the great expectations for members of a large family to go to college and become professionals and so on and so forth. And he was in a large Catholic family on the east side. Grew up on Xenia Avenue for part of his childhood.
You write a lot about economic issues and about how things are going in Dayton. Are things getting better?
I think incrementally, yes, absolutely. I think we're seeing more companies with interest locating here. I think we're seeing uptick in manufacturing employment. Again, it's not happening fast enough, but yes, I mean, we do have some payroll expansion, but, you know, the point remains that our good middle-class jobs departed in the thousands, and we're clawing them back in the hundreds, so there's a lot more room for improvement.
Steve Benesch joins us, and his Twitter handle is appropriately Ohio Jobs Watch. How's Twitter going for you?
Oh, great! You know, I've gotten some great feedback on this book, and I've got followers all over the place on Twitter. You know, I I make great use of Twitter on my coverage of the economy and on infrastructure and so on. Recently, I've been working a lot on stories related to transportation and highway construction and airport enhancements and so on, and the creation of environment more conducive to manufacturing growth and reindustrialization and so on and so forth. So, you know, so my interests are still with the paper are economic and so on. But this book, and as well as Scrappers, Dayton, Ohio, and America Turned to Scrap, are key. The image is key on issues of economy and socioeconomic facts and factors.
You have a photo in here, and the caption is Iraqi immigrant and mine victim, yeah. Wayne Avenue. Now, I'm assuming that you talked to this young man or you wouldn't know his story.
Right, exactly. Well, his family bought a tire business there on Wayne Avenue. And it's a family of Iraqis who were left the war zone. And he, what's remarkable about this young guy is he has such high spirits and he's quite happy to be here, you know, although he was maimed in Iraq during that period. But that's what you find. That's another interesting thing about Dayton is how we're attracting so many immigrants. We've got Russian Turks that are locating here in the hundreds, and I do have a photo in there of a Russian Turk mom and a couple little girls. Yeah, we're becoming quite the destination for people from war zones and other places, and they're breathing new life into the city and rehabbing homes on the north side and all over town, and giving quite a bit of vitality and energy to the community. And that's another thing that's going on here besides clawback of manufacturing economy, is we've got a lot of new and energetic immigrants in town, and I tried to reflect that in the book.
Now, Steve, when you refer to Russian Turks, are these former residents of the former Soviet Republic of Turkmenistan, or what is a Russian Turk? I'm not familiar with that.
Well, they've been moved, I think, all over the former Russian Empire, and they are Muslims who have resettled here. So they have been pretty. I think they've been quite itinerant, I think they've sort of wandered from one place to the other before settling in. Some of them coming here to settle in the United States, but they are a minority group. A Muslim minority group, and they're finding safe harbor here.
So they found a place to call home in Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah, I think we've got hundreds of families here. I don't know if it's what the number is yet, but when it comes to real estate, this is the bargain basement of the Midwest. I mean, you can pick up a home in repairable condition for anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000 and put sweat equity in it, and maybe with a small loan turn it into a habitation. So they're coming here in quite a few numbers from places like Atlanta, where real estate is more expensive.
Hmm. Well, we really appreciate your time, Steve.
Well, thank you, Vic. It's always a pleasure. And we'll hopefully I'll be able to appear on your show again with my next book.
Sounds good. Our guest has been Steve Benesch. His new collection of photos, A City of Neighbors, Faces from the Streets of Dayton, Ohio, for the Book Nook. I'm Vic McKeonis. Thanks for listening. The Book Nook is recorded at Soundspace in Yellow Springs and engineered by Chris Hertzler.